They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
New Zealand outlines a once-in-a-generation budget. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. New Zealand unleashed $30 billion to kickstart coronavirus recovery efforts. The spending package, 17 times higher than usual, includes wage subsidies and spending on healthcare and infrastructure. Here's Finance Minister Grant Robertson.
It is bold because the task we face is monumental. We said at the outset of this crisis that while we would not be able to save every job or every business, we would do everything in our power to protect people and our economy. Today we go further and begin to chart a course to a better tomorrow.
As the government focuses on rebuilding the economy, it's also lifting lockdown restrictions today. And the first stop for many, the barbershop, as the BBC's Shaima Halil explains.
One of the things that really stood out for me were these long queues of people outside hairdressers and barbershops. I mean, they opened bang after midnight, and they've been working through the night serving customers who've been desperate, really, to go and get a haircut. You saw young men just showing people how long their hair has been. Staff could be seen wearing masks. There was a staff member telling people waiting outside, for example, to keep a safe distance. So while things are still getting back to normal, there's still some restrictions and people are being urged to be more careful.
So thousands of businesses have reopened today. What's allowed and how are people keeping safe when they're out and about?
So cafes, restaurants, shops, shopping malls have been allowed to open given that they maintain strict social distancing rules. For example, restaurants aren't allowed to take bookings for more than 10 people. Bars are still not allowed to open, mind you. Sport will be allowed to restart, but with no spectators. People are now being allowed to travel domestically, but they will have to keep a record of where they've been and who they've been in contact with for contact tracing purposes.
The BBC's Shaima Halil, thanks so much for your time.
Brilliant. Thanks, Victoria.
Well, as Shaima mentioned, the focus for many countries now turns to travel and whether the summer travel season can commence safely. The European Union wants a common approach since tourism provides nearly 10% of the bloc's economic output. Spain has introduced a 14-day quarantine policy now for travelers, as the BBC's Damian Grammaticus reports.
There are bits of Spain that are absolutely dependent almost entirely on the tourist business, the big hotels, the big beach resorts. They are going to really struggle now. Interestingly, some of those areas are starting to get going again. So in parts of Andalusia, in Seville, you've got bars and cafes open, people outside. So they are starting up. But what they really need are the tourists coming back. Hotels in those areas are now able to open, but they are not opening because they're saying it's simply not worth their while until tourist arrivals start again.
Damian Grammaticus reporting there. Well, despite efforts to make travel safe, the World Health Organization warned coronavirus may never go away. That's weighing heavily on the travel and leisure sector today. Qatar Airways boss said 14-day quarantine measures for air travelers in some countries could cripple the industry. Like Victory Gardens of the World War II era, an effort is underway this side of the pond to rally people to save Britain's cheese industry from collapsing under the weight of coronavirus. As I discovered, Victory in 2020 terms is less a vegetable patch and more a steaming pot of fondue. My kitchen has become my lockdown refuge. I get to forget about the world for a while and make something tasty to eat, like this soon-to-be bubbling pot of cheese fondue.
In here we've got 300 grams of cheese. The cheese in your kit has already been lightly tossed in corn flour.
That's Matthew Carver, founder of London restaurant The Cheese Bar. He's on Instagram Live telling me and about 60 other Londoners how to expertly melt down our cheese, add a healthy pour of white wine, and simmer until we get the perfect pot of cheesy goo. His session was part of a three-day virtual event drawing attention to Britain's cheese industry, which, like many, is suffering under the weight of COVID-19. Jason Hines, dairy manager of Neil's Yard Dairy, explains hundreds of producers lost 90% of their business overnight.
Soft cheese makers in particular have a disproportionate amount of their cheese go into restaurants for cheese boards. So they had their biggest market dry up. as well as selling a cheese that doesn't keep very long. So for those makers, it was particularly apocalyptic.
That's when Neil's Yard, an artisanal cheese retailer, began selling a Save British Cheese box.
Our first box included three of the stock of cheese that was most at risk and needed to be sold the quickest.
Stichelton, a type of British blue cheese, was one of them. And Joe Schneider, the owner of Stichelton Dairy, said that inclusion saved his business.
Neil's Yard Dairy had expected to sell about 2,500 of those boxes in a week. They sold out in 4 hours. That box came alone, used up 93 cheeses for us.
Miguel Gomez, an associate professor at Cornell University's School of Applied Economics and Management, says the COVID-19 crisis could place a greater emphasis on direct-to-consumer sales of food from small producers, like artisanal cheesemakers.
You see lots of new businesses starting to adapt that because shorter supply chains are less prone of disruptions.
Certainly many in the UK seem to be responding well to shrinking supply chains. Nearly 8,000 cheese lovers from 107 different countries participated in the 3 days of events, and thousands of people expressed their enthusiasm on social media, sharing recipes, snapshots of at-home cheese creations. Even Prince Charles shared his favorite recipe for cheesy baked eggs, proving in a time of uncertainty and social distancing, we can all rally around the cheese board. Certainly a tasty effort at that. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.